The goalkeeper knocks it out. It's in the net and Aberdeen are in front. Sean Hewitt. Petardry goes berserk.
So hello and welcome to the latest By the Minute Aberdeen podcast. Joining myself, Richard Hay, tonight, we've got a former boy band star, but now very much involved in football TV production. It's Ali Begg. Ali, great to have you back on.
Hi Richard, how are you doing? Thanks for having me back on again.
Real pleasure, real privilege. Now, we would normally have had a third man on. That man was due to be the irreplaceable Martin Clunes, but he's had something of a medical emergency today. So we are just two-handed, but we'll do our best to talk through what's been a busy last 7 days for the Dons and look ahead to some tricky ties coming up in the next week. So first of all, the big disappointment of the week was clearly going out to Europe to NK Maribor on Thursday night. Ali, first of all, the lineup. We reverted obviously to 4-2-3-1, having really kind of bossed the home game against Maribor with a 4-4-2 lineup. Mm. And of course, the disappointment of missing out on Johnny Hayes. I take it you weren't that surprised by the reverting back to the traditional format.
No, not at all. In fact, I was actually surprised that he played the 4-4-2 in the home game. I was pleasantly surprised, to be honest with you. It's a formation that I actually prefer. It's a formation that I always was brought up on, and it's a formation that I've always enjoyed watching. So when the team was announced and the formation was announced for the first leg, I think I made it public that I was absolutely delighted with it. So when he went back to the tried and tested formation for the away leg, I have to be honest, I was slightly disappointed because I felt we could have actually gone a little bit gung-ho and not showed any fear. Because I personally felt that the formation worked in the first leg, and I thought, especially in the first half, we dominated the game, and I think we should have put the actual tie to bed in the first half of the first leg. So, I have to admit, I was slightly disappointed, but I fully understood and appreciated why Derek went with the formation in Slovenia, because It's the way I kind of expected him to play the European games. So it wasn't overly a big surprise.
I mean, would you say that, in your opinion, that Derek McInnes is a safety first, risk averse manager?
Possibly, yes. Especially for the away legs. For the first leg, as I said before, because I was pleasantly surprised, I thought to myself, this is something that He's taken me by surprise. I didn't expect this at all. This is showing a side of bravery that maybe we haven't seen before. So I applauded him for it, and it worked. And that's why I was just so disappointed that we didn't actually play 4-4-2 away as well. I understand why we have to be slightly cautious for the away leg. We needed to win the game. Obviously, we needed to score the goal. But I don't know, I felt we could have maybe, if we played the 4-4-2, I think they wouldn't have been able to cope with us as well as they did on Thursday night, because I don't think that really we gave them too many problems on Thursday night. So, yeah, maybe he could have been a little bit braver in the second leg, but who am I to argue with the boss?
I think, obviously, for the last half an hour, he was prepared to go 4-4-2, but we'll talk about why, obviously, that never really got off the ground later on. Mm. The big chance, though, and what a chance it was the penalty kick, which Adam Mooney had saved in the first half. Now, quite a couple of bones of contention about this penalty kick. I just wonder how you see them, Ali, because it's split opinion, I think. First of all, obviously, the decision to disallow the goal, which Niall McGinn had scored after Adam Rooney was brought down. He was just too quick to blow his whistle there, wasn't he?
Yeah, totally agree. I thought the referee was absolutely appalling on Thursday night. One of the worst refereeing displays I've seen in a very long time. He just blew up for anything and everything. And it's always been my biggest fear about the modern game, is that football's becoming a non-contact sport. And he epitomised my feelings on Thursday night. Every time we put a ball into the box, every time you put a free kick into their final third, he just immediately blew the whistle when we challenged for a ball. You know, the red card that Jaden Stockley got is just laughable, in my opinion. If you can't go up and challenge for a ball anymore, we might as well pack up and go home. Because football's a contact sport, and I think the players also have to take a lot of responsibility on the park as well. You know, the centre-back for Maribor, who was involved in the red card, whose name escapes me, was just falling around all game. He was like that in the first leg. He obviously couldn't cope with the physical presence. And I find it really disappointing that a player plays the game that way in the modern era. It's just really disappointing. But the referee blew up far too early. Just play the advantage. Surely he saw that Aberdeen had an advantage. So why blow up? I just don't understand it. I don't get it. I've looked back on it many times to see if there's any excuse that I can offer him, and I really can't, because it's all in the same movement. Niall makes a move forward. Adam goes down. His momentum obviously takes him down after what I thought was also a horrendous tackle on him, the way the goalkeeper caught the back of his Achilles. But he was far too premature in awarding the decision. And even, he could have even just allowed the goal. Just let play go on. Because the Maribor defenders, they carried on playing as well. It wasn't as if they stopped for the whistle. So it was a hugely disappointing decision. And then, you know, the penalty was just a shocker, wasn't it? I fully expected Adam to do what he always does, which is just slot it into the bottom right-hand corner at full pelt. And I don't really know what he was trying to do. I really hope he's learned his lesson, because it's so out of character. And you could argue it completely changed the pattern of the game. But it was, I listened to his Red TV interview after he signed his deal. And what does impress me about him is that he said if we had had another penalty on the night, he would have been the first one to grab the ball and step up and take it. So there's still plenty of confidence within him that I don't think that will happen again. I don't think he'll try and play a cute penalty. I think he's learnt his lesson.
Yeah, you're right. It was a very curious penalty kick, given where he usually places them. I mean, I think if you look back at his history of successful spot kicks, because that's his first miss for the club, they've all been drilled into the corner with one exception, I think, and that was the League Cup final penalty, where he got some height on it. And if he'd replicated that on Thursday night, he would have scored. So
absolutely.
I'm interested to see what he was actually trying to think of doing that night. Anyway, I don't know if anybody watched the BT Sport coverage of the game today, they would have seen that they went over the action from Thursday night, including the penalty kick, and had Howard Webb actually look at the incident that led to the penalty kick. And apparently Howard Webb's assessment was it should have been a red card for the challenge and advantage should have been played. So it should have had a goal and up against 10 men. So
that's interesting.
The decision not to give the red card, however, there's been a change in the law over the summer. So before, if there was a clear goal-scoring opportunity, it was an automatic red card in the penalty box. Now, if that foul is made in the penalty box, so there's a penalty kick, there the get-out clause in the new ruling appears to be if there's a genuine attempt to play the ball. So, looking at replays, clearly he's just trying to bring Rooney down. But I think if you give a referee a get-out clause like that, especially away from home, especially in a situation like in Maribor, I think they're going to take it. I think they're going to pull back from sending the red card. Whereas before, there wasn't that same dubiety. It would have been a red card. They wouldn't have had the get-out option. I just wonder if you think that the removal of that double jeopardy or triple jeopardy, as it had been termed, it is worth it to create this kind of confusion which appears is now going to be in the game again.
No, I think they've made a huge mistake. I don't understand for the life of me why those in charge of our game continually mess with the rules. Just leave the game alone. The game's a very simple game. And we've had rules and regulations for over a century now. And we keep messing with it. And when we started this new offside rule many years ago, it brought a lot of confusion to the game. Was he onside? Was he offside? Was he in an onside position, an offside position when he started? All this kind of stuff. And it just led to an awful lot of confusion. For me, on Thursday night, it was a clear penalty and it was a clear red card. He was the last man. Forget this double jeopardy, double whammy nonsense that they keep going on about. I don't think there was an intent to play the ball because he caught him on the back of his Achilles. So Adam was already round him when he brought him down. Now, if that's not a red card, I just don't know what is. And I think the reason why he didn't give the red card, and I'm willing to be stood corrected, is because he already gave the penalty kick. So this double whammy ruling that they've brought in is that he's given the penalty kick, so he's not going to give the red card. It's a load of nonsense. I just wish they'd leave the game alone. It's infuriating.
More infuriating was, as we've touched on earlier, Jaden Stockley's red card. He's on the pitch for 5 minutes and picks up two completely innocuous bookings.
Yeah.
Neither of those is a yellow card, is it?
No, definitely not. It's just ridiculous. In fact, it infuriated me. I've got to be honest, at that point, I was ready to turn off because I just thought, this is not happening for us tonight. It's not going to be our night. We can't get into a rhythm. We can't get into a flow. We can't challenge for the ball. We can't make a tackle. We can't jump for the ball. What is the point? And I just don't understand what was going through the referee's mind when he kept giving petty fouls. You know, I mentioned before, football's a contact sport. It's played by men. Just leave the game alone. Let people challenge for the ball. It's, you know, I grew up in the era, in the 80s, late 70s, early 80s, and the 90s. And I watch a lot of YouTube stuff. I watch a lot of archive footage. And only the other day I was watching the game where Aberdeen lost 1-0 to Rangers when they won the league at Pittodrie in 1987. And Graham Souness takes Brian Irvine out, which is a horrendous tackle. Doesn't even get booked. Because it was just part and parcel of the game. And the referee went over to him, had a stern word in his ear, and just told him to get on with it. We just, you know, I don't know. It's just spoiled the game for me. And I think because of that, this is why we see players these days falling over. Like, I don't know if you caught the Celtic game. I didn't see the whole game. But the penalty kick for Hearts, it's just embarrassing.
Oh, it's comical.
It's appalling, and it shouldn't be allowed in the game. And the young lad should be thoroughly ashamed of himself for throwing himself down to the ground like that. You know, I from what I understand, and it's only from reading reports, that John Beaton, the referee, actually apologised to Brendan Rodgers after the game for getting it wrong. And I fully applaud him for doing that, because it's not often you see a referee doing that. And I think this is why we have elements of our game which is so unnecessary and very unattractive. And I think it's because you just can't tackle anymore. You can't go in for a 50-50. And this whole thing about going in for a 50-50 with an intent to hurt your opponent, you know, you just can't do it. It's, for me, that's the worst rule, because if you're going in for a meaty 50-50, it's two guys going in for a ball. Just let it happen. Nature will take its course, you know. I don't know. It's the one aspect of the game that really, really frustrates me at the moment, and it really frustrated me on Thursday night. And I don't know. Hindsight's a wonderful thing. Would it have made any difference if the referee hadn't have blown up, if he hadn't have sent off Jaden Stockley? I really don't know. You know, for me, the damage we've done in the first leg, we should have won the game comfortably in the first leg. We didn't take our chances when we should have done. So, I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, we weren't, you know, we did have a failure to really create anything substantial in that second half. Obviously, we were down to 10 men for the last half hour. But we were our own worst enemies at times. A couple of free kicks where we launched balls into the box and Ash Taylor was getting himself caught offside.
Yeah.
It seemed as if that the failure to win in the first leg and indeed that missed penalty kick took a lot of the stuffing out the side. by the end.
I agree.
They battled and they fought, and it's commendable. But then right at the end, obviously we lose a comical own goal. Can't really place any blame to Joe Lewis with that bobble that the ball took. But one thing that David Priest did say on Twitter was that you know, Graham Shinney automatically should have been thinking to play it back outside the posts.
Absolutely.
Is that something which really should be drummed in at that level? It should just be second nature to Graham Shinney.
Absolutely. I think when when the back pass rule came in, I was going through my coaching courses at the time when the back pass came in, and one of the first things that we were taught as coaches was to tell your players, now, if you're going to make a back pass, make sure you pass it out the width of the goal, so that if anything does happen, worst case scenario, it goes out for a penalty. It goes out for a corner. So I have absolutely, you know, and I tweeted it the other day, I find it incredulous that people were blaming Joe Lewis for what happened on Thursday night. It's taken a huge bobble off a terrible playing surface. What can he do? Okay, you could argue that maybe he could have taken a touch, but he's just going to clear his lines, hasn't he? I think, personally, Graham Shinney should have played it slightly further to his left, to Joe Lewis's right, and then if it had happened, it would have just gone out for a corner kick. So all I hope for is that lessons have been learned from that. But this is what also made me laugh, is that people were very quick to jump on the bandwagon, and journalists as well, which really disappointed me, and Scottish journalists, who said that that was the goal that knocked Aberdeen out. It wasn't. And no matter what had happened, even if the goal hadn't have gone in, Aberdeen would have gone out anyway because of the away goal. So to suggest that Aberdeen went out in comical circumstances is an absolute nonsense. And, you know, Scottish football takes enough bashing as it is, and we need our own people to stand up for the game, and we need our own people to get their facts right before they start putting stuff into print, because nobody outside the game in Scotland needs an opportunity to have a knock at our game. And what happened on Thursday, unfortunately, was the perfect opportunity to people to knock our game.
But your overall emotions from the tie against Maribor, Ali, and indeed the European run, I mean, it's one of frustration, surely, because they were beatable.
They were. I totally agree with you. And for us as fans, it's so incredibly frustrating when we know the boys have it in their locker to beat the likes of a Maribor. Over two legs, not just over one leg. We had enough in our locker to be able to beat them and beat them comfortably. And, you know, I read a few lines on Twitter and a few lines in newspapers. It's glorified defeat. No, it isn't. It isn't glorified defeat at all. It's frustrating. It's annoying. And we should be doing better. I really think we should be doing better, because I think the squad that Derek now has is good enough to have made it to the playoff stage at least. We should have got to the playoff stage, as in the final qualifying game before the group stage. My expectations was that we made it that far, that we got to the playoff, the final playoff. That's what I was hoping for. I honestly believe that if we got to the group stage, that was as good as winning a cup for me, because to get to the group stage is not easy. We all know it's not easy, because there's never an easy game in Europe these days. So, but again, I hope that lessons have been learnt. I hope the lads have taken on the experience. I hope they've taken it all in. And going forward, I hope that there's more of an understanding of the game, that we're more clinical, where we are more... I think we need more of a killer instinct. I think that is lacking at the moment. I think it was lacking last season, and I'm afraid for this season that we don't have that killer instinct to finish teams off. I want us to get a bit more nasty. You know, obviously I don't want people flying into tackles left, right and centre, but I want us to get a bit more nasty. I want people to be afraid of us. I want teams to come to Bitology and not enjoy it. I want teams to come to Bitology and think to themselves, Christ, we're in a hell of a game here. And I'm not just talking domestically, I'm talking from a European point of view as well. I want Bitology to become a fortress. And I just want the boys to get nasty.
Well, between the tie on Thursday night and today's game in Perth, a couple of news lines. Firstly, well, the news that broke before the game in my report was that Johnny Hayes had suffered a hamstring injury in training and he'll be out for a month. Big loss, obviously, and we'll talk about that a bit more in a minute. But lifted the gloom slightly on Friday with news that Adam Rooney signed a new deal, taking him up to 2020. There's no question about it. At SPFL level, Ali, Adam Rooney is a top striker.
Absolutely. I was absolutely thrilled. When I saw the news break, I was just... I couldn't believe it. It was such a gloom lifter on Friday morning, and it was fantastic timing from the club as well, because it lifted spirits, and I think it says a lot. I think it's a real sign of intent. I have no doubt that other clubs were looking at Adam. I have no doubts that teams down south would have been sniffing about him, might even have possibly checked out to see what his contract situation was, offered him more money. I think he has been incredibly brave signing the four-year deal, and I think it says a lot about Adam Rooney, not just as a man, but as a not just as a player, but as a man as well, because he's obviously very happy in Aberdeen. His family seem very settled in Aberdeen. From what I understand, he absolutely loves it at the club. I think it's a huge lift, and I, for one, am absolutely thrilled that he's staying on for 4 years. And it just means for me the goals are going to keep on coming. We have a very potent threat up front now, and it's fantastic news. It really is.
So on today, the rather unswishable time of 12:15, we started our league season away in Perth, a venue which over the last couple of years proved not so straightforward for Aberdeen. Last season, a couple of horrendous results, in particular against St Johnstone. But today's lineup, with Johnny Hayes already out, Niall McGinn was rested from the start. Was that a wise move, given how much creativity you miss when Johnny Hayes is out, to take away your other main source of goals?
I must admit, I raised an eyebrow why he wasn't playing. But then I kind of understood it. You know, I don't want to use the Euros as an excuse for Niall, but this lad has played, when you think about it, he's played an awful lot of football in the past 3 years, and he hasn't had an awful lot of downtime. Okay, he got some time off between the Euros and the Europa League qualifiers. I get that, and I understand that. But I still think players mentally need to switch off, not just physically as well. So I'm wondering whether Derek saw this game as an opportunity for the likes of your Miles Storey to get in about, to see what he's all about. I actually thought, do you know, I've got to be honest, I thought the boys did well, and Burns. I thought they did okay. I thought they had plenty of endeavour about them, and I thought they had plenty of energy about them. And I think they bring us something different. But I'm not sure in the same way that a Niall McGinn and a Johnny Hayes does. I think with Johnny and Niall, they have more of that killer instinct I was talking about before. Mm-hmm. I felt with Storey and Burns that it, as much as they had the energy and the drive and the determination was there, which I had absolutely no problems with, I just felt in the areas where it really mattered, they ran out of ideas.
No, I think that's a fair assessment, and I can understand Derek McInnes wanting to make us more robust, in his words, or indeed nasty, to use your words, Ali, especially in games like this where there was a feeling that we'd been bullied out of them last season. Yeah. But in addition to that, I'm not sure that going more direct, which we definitely were today, doesn't that play right into their hands?
Absolutely. To me, today, I got frustrated with the performance today. I never at any point felt we were going to lose the game, but I have to confess, I never at any point felt we were going to win the game, because Mark Reynolds, very solid at the back today, kept just pumping long balls forward, aimlessly. Kenny McLean, who I don't know, the jury's still out for me on Kenny. I think he started to come good last season, but I don't know. I think the jury's still out on him for me at the moment. Again, just picking the ball up, long punts up the park, into aimless areas, where Jaden Stockley is doing his best to get flick-ons and all that kind of stuff. But then when Jaden Stockley is winning the ball, there's not an Aberdeen player within 10 yards of him. So I was starting to get really frustrated with today. The set pieces today is the worst that I've seen in a long time. You know, I think, what was it, on the 63rd minute or something like that, we got a free kick in a fairly dangerous area. And we put it out. We put it right over the top of the 18-yard box and went out for a goal kick. Mm-hmm. And I slumped down back onto my seat with my head in my hands, and I'm just like, can we not put in a decent ball today? Shea Logan was guilty of poor passing today. I thought his final ball was poor. Listen, he's a fantastic defender. He's great going forward, but his final ball was really lacking today. There was a real frustrating element to the game today. But saying that, you know, for me, St Johnstone are our bogey team, and they've been our bogey team for the past couple of seasons. So to come away with a point, and never look in any danger of losing, we kept a clean sheet. Joel Lewis made a couple of very, very decent saves. I thought we were very good at the back today. I thought we were a lot more solid. I'm quietly content, but a tad frustrated that we could have done and should have done a lot better.
And are we perhaps underestimating the impact of playing, you know, a big game on Thursday night, playing with 10 men for half an hour, and then coming back and less than 72 hours, because obviously with the early kickoff as well,
yeah,
playing a whole 90 minutes, again, at a physically demanding ground like Perth against St Johnstone. So yeah. are we perhaps downplaying that when we look at the performance?
I read with interest that a couple of observers of our game said we can't use Thursday night as an excuse. I think we can. Why can't we? It's another thing about the administrators of our game. I just wish they would look into things like this a little bit more carefully. Why couldn't have we had a later kickoff today? To me, it would have made much more sense to have a 4 o'clock kickoff in Perth instead of a 12:15 kickoff. There isn't much time to prepare. The boys got back. They would have had a warm down, I'm guessing, on Friday. They would have had a session yesterday morning. It's not a great deal of time to fully recover. What was really interesting were the boys who tweeted pictures of themselves getting all this treatment. I don't know if you saw it.
Oh, yes, yes.
A lot of the boys were getting this this ice treatment or something like that.
Cryotherapy.
Yeah. And I thought to myself, just jump in an ice bath, you know. Surely it's exactly the same effect, just jump in an ice bath. But my first instinct when I saw that was, are these lads going to recover in time to play an early kickoff in Perth on Sunday afternoon? Because I did at times today thought we looked a little bit pedestrian, especially in the first half. But saying that, on the hour mark, I thought we lifted our energy slightly. I thought with Niall coming on and Adam coming on, I thought that made a difference. I thought we could have, you know, possibly sneaked something, but I genuinely didn't see us getting anything but a point from today's game. And I think it says it all that our first meaningful attempt on goal was in the 86th minute. And even then, I think Ryan Jack's header was going slightly wide anyway.
Let's have a look at some of the individual displays. We've already spoken about Kenny McLean, and his form is definitely a worry. I think at the start of last season, he did have a spell. European games were such a bonus to him, and I think that really kicked him on and spurred him on in the league. Certainly when Wes Burns was taken off ahead of him today, I thought that was particularly harsh on Wes, who had shown some creativity, maybe not in the right parts of the pitch that you want him to do that, but was at least looking like he might create something.
Yeah, last season I thought Kenny kicked on, and I think he fully deserved his call-up, but there's something about Kenny's game that I'm just not overly comfortable with. I think he's the type of player, he's a creative player, I think. but I don't think he's being creative enough. He's got a lovely left foot on him, but I think he plays too many square passes, and I think he plays too many safe passes. Mm-hmm. And today, there was no creativity from him at all. And that's a worrying aspect for me, because he's the type of player that should be dominating a midfield. You know, he's a big lad. He should have physical presence about him. You know, if you compare him with Graham Shinney, who today I thought was a bundle of joy, he was attempting to create. He was full of energy. He was making bursting runs. I didn't see that from Kenny McLean. Now, I understand that maybe one of your midfielders maybe just has to sit in or tuck in. I get that. Maybe not go a wee bit too gung-ho. But when an opportunity presents itself, I just don't see it in him at the moment. And I hope it's something that we can maybe drag out of him. Maybe it's not in his locker. I don't know. Kenny's the only person that can tell you that, or the gaffer. I'm just a mere observer of the game. So I think we need a wee bit more from him.
I really like Graham Shinney in midfield, because he brings a lot out of Ryan Jack, I think.
Yeah.
The only thing is, I really, really, really like him at left back. Can we clone him?
It's an interesting one for me, because I'm of the same thought, Richard. I like him at left back as well, but I think I prefer him in midfield, because I think he gives us something different. I think he's more potent on the ball. I think he's got a better eye in the midfield, in an area of the park where he can pick out a pass. I think sometimes when he's at left back, he's what's the word I'm looking for? I think he's slightly congested when he's out on the touchline. I think when he's given a little bit more freedom inside the park, when he can make darting runs, where he can take defenders away. And I think he's got more of an energy about him when he's playing in the midfield role. I actually think Andrew Considine has done a fantastic job at left back recently. So I have no issues with Andrew Considine playing left back at all. In fact, I'm very comfortable with him playing there, which frees up Graham to play in the midfield. And I agree with you. I think he's been able to bring out what I think is still slightly hiding in Ryan Jack. Now, I remember last year when the three of us chatted about, in fact, ironically, it was after the St Johnstone defeat, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
and we spoke about Ryan Jack and him as, you know, does he have the leadership qualities as a captain? Is he the right man to be the captain for Aberdeen? I think if I remember correctly, I said at the time, I think he was. I then started to doubt those sentiments a little bit later on in the season. But this season, in the games that I've watched him, I have to say, I think he's been magnificent. I think he's bossed the games. I think he's been very comfortable on the ball. He's brought players into play. I've seen more communication from him. His body language seems to be different. So, and I think that could possibly be because he's playing alongside Graham Shinney. Maybe he needed someone like Graham Shinney to bring himself out of a shell. I don't know.
Yes, we were risking it, having Ali back on in the wake of a St Johnstone game, because it was after the 5-1 home defeat last season when Ali was first on the podcast. But things didn't work out so badly. The other kind of change to a lineup, as well as Niall McGinn and Adam Rooney being rested, was that O'Connor replaced the suspended Ash Taylor. And he did pretty well, didn't he? I think at the back we were, as you've already pointed out, we were seeming a lot more solid, and he was central to that. He won everything that came in airily, and certainly wasn't outpaced or anything or outthought on the ground. What do you reckon, in terms of what has clearly been a worry over the past 12 months, that position, what do you think is the best pairing at centre-half for the Dons?
Well, it's going to be, I tell you what, the boss has got a hell of a dilemma now, hasn't he? Because I thought the young lad did really, really well today. There was only one time when I thought he mistimed a ball that came into the 18-yard box, where he mistimed the flight of the ball, and it presented an opportunity for St Johnstone, but thankfully the boy fluffed his lines. But then saying that, O'Connor got straight back in on top of him, which I believe led to the boy fluffing his lines. So that was the only time I had my heart in my mouth over that. But apart from that, I thought it was a very accomplished performance. He looked comfortable on the ball. Positioning was first class. Played off Mark Reynolds very well. Hardly ever gave a ball away. Was dominant in the air. Hey, listen, I can't speak highly enough of his performance. I thought he was absolutely fantastic. And I have to be honest, I thought we looked an awful lot more solid for it. So, what does the gaffer do? If you were going to put a gun to my head, I would implore him to keep the same central defensive partnership for the League Cup tie this week and just give him another chance and see how it goes. Because it's my biggest concern. And I've aired my views publicly, and I don't mean to be disrespectful in any way, shape or form to Ash Taylor, because I do think we've actually got a making of a decent centre-half there, but the lad's got to stop thinking he's Franz Beckenbauer. He's, at times, he is an accident waiting to happen, and I don't think I'm the only one who thinks that he makes us slightly nervous. And what was really interesting was even listening to the Red TV commentary a few days ago, where they said, even they said, you know, they were slightly nervous of how he plays the ball out and when he tries to play football out from the back. So I don't think we're the only ones that get nervous around Ash Taylor. But, you know, I don't want to be too harsh on the guy, because I do genuinely think that if he just cleared his lines, if he kept his concentration levels throughout the game, he's a decent player. And I think he, you know, at times last year, especially when we went on that undefeated run at the beginning of the season, he was absolutely immense for us, I have to say. He made some amazing tackles. He caused problems up front at set pieces. He was very, very solid. But then just a couple of mistakes here and there, maybe a dip in confidence, but just clear your lines. It was the one really frustrating element about the first leg against Maribor. Just put your foot through the ball, and he didn't. And he wasn't aware of his surroundings. And he nonchalantly tried to clear a ball, which obviously led to the boy intercepting and going through and scoring. So if I was the boss, I'd keep O'Connor in with Reynolds for the League Cup tie and see where it goes.
Yes, if you're an Aberdeen player and the Red TV commentators are beginning to have doubts about you, then there's something wrong, definitely. But Joe Lewis, again, when called upon today, which wasn't that often, he did really well. He looks a really secure signing.
I think he, potentially, I think he could be our best signing of the summer. I think he's already showed his class. The penalty save in the second round of the Europa League qualifiers, important save. Today he made an outstanding save, didn't he, in the first half. Just, you know, shots like that, when the ball comes across and the guy gets a clean shot at goal from 18 yards and it's coming through a pack of players, those are not easy. And he only didn't just save it, you know, he pushed it to safety as well. Okay, it rebounded off a St. Johnson player for a goal kick in the end, but he pushed it away. He could potentially be another Danny Ward, couldn't he?
I very much think so. I think, again, crying out for somebody just to bring solidity to that role. I think the last 6 months of last season, I think we're rather scarred by it in some respects. So we just need somebody to come in and really prove themselves as a safe pair of hands, which Joe Lewis has done in his opening displays. So let's hope that
he's going to, you know, if you've got a decent goalkeeper at the back, you're going to instill confidence in your back four, aren't you?
Yeah, so immediately.
I think, with a safe pair of hands, for me, that position now is absolutely no concern whatsoever. It's the central defensive partnership that concerns me.
So anyway, that was the first league game of the season. It was a point away from home at St Johnstone in what essentially is a game which, come Tuesday, you have completely forgotten about. And on Wednesday, we start our League Cup campaign. Air United away. Domestic Cups. And they're still going to be our main route to any potential glory, being realistic. So this is a big game for us, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Last season, the cup runs, if you can even call them that, I've got to be honest, it annoyed me, it pissed me off to go out in the fashion that we did, because cut runs, I agree with you. Cut runs are our main route to silverware. We have to have a good cup run. We saw what happened, you know, 2 years ago, and what an amazing lift it was for not just the club, but the city as well. And it just brought so much to the place. And it brought so much joy to so many people that we have to replicate that. And we must go on a good cup run this season. We have to. Players are judged by their medals, aren't they, these days? Or are they? Maybe that's an argument for another day. But players want to win medals. I'm sure players still want to win medals. Yes, they want to earn money, I get that. But they still want the accolades, don't they? They still want the honours, they still want the trophies. They still want to have a small trophy cabinet at home where they can display medals. And I just hope the players have the hunger and the desire to do better than last season, because last season was a damn squib. And we must replicate what we achieved in 2014. It's important for Aberdeen Football Club to have good cup runs. It's important for the people of the club, and it's important for the fans that we get semi-final trips and we get trips to finals. It's what we crave. It's what we desperately need. It's what keeps us supporting the club. It's what keeps us coming back time and time again, and it's what gives us the faith and the hope. My love for Aberdeen, you know, as most people know, is tenfold. It's as passionate as any other Dons fan. But when we won the League Cup after so many years of obscurity, it was one of the best moments of my life. It really was, and it was just we need to do it again. And I really hope this season we kick on and we have a decent cup run.
Yeah, they're hugely important moments. Winning silverware, it just ties people down for life to the club. I mean, you and I both have an age, Ali, where we grew up wallowing in success. You know, that we. I used to think that the cup final in May used to feature Aberdeen just by right, plus another team. But these days, we've certainly been disabused of that notion in the last 30 years. But Ayr United themselves, they opened the season with a 2-0 defeat at home to Raith Rovers on Saturday, and obviously came up from League One last year. I can't envisage there being too many changes based on what Derek McInnes said post-game today. He said he wanted to respect the competition and respect the opposition. However, it has been a testing period, so what sort of rotation do you expect to see?
I think Niall will start, and I think Adam will start. I'd be very surprised if the two of them don't start that game, because these are the type of games where we have to be very, very careful. I would also start, as I mentioned before, with O'Connor and Reynolds. And I would start with Jaden Stockley with Adam Rooney up front and see where we go. Because I think we've got to play a strong team. We must play a strong team. These are the type of games, I don't want to use an old cliche, but they are banana skins. For Ayr United, this will be their cup final, won't it? So they'll go into the game maybe with no fear, because all the pressure's on us. It'll be a huge occasion for them as well. I'm absolutely convinced we'll take maybe 400 or 500 fans down there. You know, the fans really have to be applauded for their following of the club at the moment. You know, how many did we have there at McDermott Park today? You know,
3,020 Dons fans in the crowd of 5,700. So
I know it's phenomenal, and I applaud every one of them. And the away support in Slovenia on Thursday was just fantastic, as it has been the whole Europa League campaign. So I have no doubt we'll take a healthy set of fans down to Ayrshire midweek, and the fans deserve a good side, a strong side, and a strong performance. So these are the type of games that we have to get out of the way. Because I remember when we played in 2014, we played Falkirk in the first round, didn't we? And we only just scraped past them. I think on penalties, if my memory serves me correct.
It was Alloa.
Alloa, yeah. I beg your pardon. And, you know, these are... Okay, we got through, but these are the type of games that they just make me nervous. So put a strong side out, and just get through the tie and get to the next round.
Simple as that. Absolutely. Let's hope it is as simple as that on Wednesday night. Now, looking slightly further ahead, Saturday at 3 p.m, and I'm really surprised this one hasn't been moved for TV, Hearts at home. Something of a grudge match this, Ali.
Yeah. The hammer throwers, eh? listen, they're not an easy side. I didn't see all of the Celtic game today. I only saw bits and pieces of it. But they're not afraid to put themselves about, are they?
Seven bookings today, I believe.
Sums it up, doesn't it? But this is what I was talking about before, Richard, where we have to get nasty. Because I think Hearts are the type of team that can bully us. And we shouldn't allow them to bully. We should be bullying them. We should be putting them in their place. Our players need to stand up next Saturday, because these are the type of games which could define our season. Because we have to win these games, and we have to win them playing well, winning every single battle, not just physically but mentally. And it's important that we come away with those Hearts players coming away from Pataudry, know that they've been in one hell of a game, and they will not look forward to playing Aberdeen all season. And we have to set the benchmark early. And for me, there's not a better time and a place to do that on Saturday. And we have to get in about them immediately. We have to take our chances. You know, we must take our chances. Because it's important for me. I just want the boys to be mentally strong. I want them to be mentally tougher than what happened last season. I think for me that was the major issue last season. I don't think we were mentally strong enough, because I don't think the players had been in that position before and they knew how to handle the pressure. Because every game last season, you could argue, meant something, especially when Celtic dropped points and we had the opportunity to close the gap. And I lost count how many times Celtic opened the door for us and we slammed it firmly shut in our own faces. So for me, this season, we must improve mentally and we have to be stronger, because surely the belief is there. We've got talented players. We've got a decent squad, a very decent squad now. Derek has brought in some very decent players who I think could make a real impact at the club. They seem like really decent lads. They seem like already there's a real camaraderie amongst the boys. So we have to be stronger mentally. We must be stronger physically. We must never, ever allow teams to bully us. And Hearts bullied us last season. If there's a 50-50, I know it's the old saying, but heed first. Just get stuck right in and let them know that they're in a game. Don't give them anything. Don't give them an inch. They're going to play the game like they did last season. They're going to fall over. They're going to play for fouls. They're going to feign injury. They're going to waste time. They're going to frustrate us. They're going to annoy us. That's what happened last season. And unfortunately, whether we like it or not, I think they won that battle. And this season, we have to turn the tide and we have to make sure that we win the battle. So for me, it's the perfect time to play them. It's early in the season. Get in amongst them. Show them what we're all about and show the rest of the Scottish Premiership what we're about, that we won't be bullied, that you're going to be in a game every single time you come to Pataudry, and the boys are up for it. And we've forgotten about what happened last season. We're back. We're mentally tougher. We're physically tougher. And who knows what might happen this season? Who knows? But get in amongst them.
Well, as I say, it's Saturday, it's 3 p.m, it's our first home league game of the season. There really is no excuse for not pitching for Pataudry if you're in the area. So hopefully we get a good crowd for that one and we get right on top from the first minute. If you're not there, we'll have a minute-by-minute for you from Callum Shanlon, who's doing the game for us from Canada next week. Ali, before we go, just a word about what you did during your summer holidays. Well, they weren't holidays, but you were quite busy at work at VN Sports in Qatar. But one of the benefits of working there during the European Championships in the summer was a steady stream of football icons who came through the doors and were guests during the BN coverage. And you managed to corral quite a few of them into doing a couple of videos over the summer, which went viral. You had a lot of fun doing them, didn't you?
Yeah, it was brilliant. I just, do you know, I was just, it just popped into my head. I think I was just lying in bed one night and I thought to myself, we're really fortunate, or I'm really fortunate that, you know, I can mix with these guys and I can convey with these guys and sit down and have a natter with them about football and their families and about life in general. And I just wanted to have some fun and I didn't really know what to do. And it was when I found out Kevin Keegan was coming.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the video with Kevin Keegan that really set the ball rolling, and it just popped into my head. And I think I was just driving to work one day, and it just, all of a sudden, it was just there. The idea was just there. Just get him to say, I would love it. I would love it if Aberdeen win the Scottish Premier League. And I just thought it would be really good fun to get it on video and post it on social media. And plus also, I think I wanted to also show that, you know, these guys have a completely different side to them as well, that a lot of people don't get to see. They only get to see what they see on television or maybe on the football pitch. I'm in an extremely privileged position where I can I meet these guys because of my job. And every single one of our pundits that comes through the doors at BeIN Sports, they're great fun. They're absolute gentlemen, every single one of them. They're always up for a laugh. They always greet you with a hug or a firm handshake and, how are you doing? How's your family? How are the kids? And what I really like now is that they all know, because I'm such a huge Aberdeen fan, that they now even confess to looking out for the results. And for me, that's the biggest compliment. You know, that even happened to me when I was in Singapore, when I was working over there, that sometimes we brought lads over from the UK to spend a couple of weeks with us, and they got to know my love for the club. And whenever they came back, oh, I saw Aberdeen got beat at the weekend, or I saw Aberdeen comfortably won the other day. You know, and I find that hugely flattering, to be honest with you, that these guys actually take the time to look out for the results. So yeah, I just decided to have some fun, really. And every single one of them was extremely open to it, and we're delighted to do it. You know, when Ruud Gullit did it, I couldn't believe it, because I genuinely thought he wouldn't do it, and it really took some courage to go up to him and ask him if he would do it, and he was so up for it. And you know, to confess that his toughest opponent was Willie Miller, it was just brilliant. Plus the fact when he said his favourite boy band was Bad Boy Zinc, you know, it's just genius, and it was such fun. And I honestly never expected the type of response that it got. You know, the Kevin Keegan ones had nearly 200,000 views, and you know, the Newcastle Chronicle got in touch with us and said they just thought it was the funniest thing they'd seen in years, and could they put it on their website, and could they do a little interview with me and all this kind of stuff. And it was a sports editor that got in touch with me, and he said, Ali, honestly, he said, I thought this was the funniest thing that I've seen in years. It was absolutely hilarious. And I'm just really delighted that it got that sort of response. So I'm going to keep going. You know, why not? They're good fun. They're a good laugh. You know, the one with Michael O'Neill I thought was really funny as well. Whenever the boys have looked back on them, we've really chuckled at it. So we've got some really good guests coming over in the next few weeks, and I've already got my eye on one or two. And I need to come up with something fresh, and I need to come up with some ideas about what I can say to them. And I desperately want to do Graham Souness, but I'm kind of afraid.
Yeah, that might not get quite the same reaction amongst the average. Anyway, no, they were very entertaining during the course of the summer, Ali, and your missionary zeal on behalf of the Dons obviously spreads far and wide, and it has been useful to us as well, because I don't know if anybody else heard the Alex McLeish interview over the summer, but that was Ali that managed to put us into touch initially with Alex, who'd again been over as a pundit for BeIN. And well, you know, maybe there might be one or two more in the pipeline because of Ali's missionary work. But we'll leave you on that note, on that dangling note there. Ali, it's been a great pleasure as ever to have you on and
Thank
to
you.
Hear your thoughts on the Dons and the past week, which has been an up and down one. Obviously, we went out to Europe to Maribor, and that's another 11 months till we get to see European football Pittodrie again. But let's hope the season 2016-17 is good enough to make sure that we do get back into Europe. Ayr United on Wednesday, Hearts on Saturday. Two big games for two very different reasons. Here's hoping it's two wins for the Dons by the time we speak to you again next week. Good night.